Good morning, everyone. Very nice to be with you. This morning I started very well. I must thank Cathy Brown, our Caritas North America regional coordinator, because maybe she was not presented like this, but she's our closest colleague here in North America, for inviting me or having me invited. If soccer is a big thing here in the States, football is one in France, Italy. In Italy, it's very active. I was sharing that Caritas France has started football teams with homeless people and organizing football matches across France, giving an opportunity for homeless to also, you know, find their own way, looking at themselves in a positive manner. And just wages, I will maybe not so much come back on that, but right now, for the last 12 months at least, we've been working with the Secretariat of State in the Vatican to update our staff regulations in Caritas Internationalis. And this issue of just wages has also been on board. But when Cathy asked me whether I could come, and the title of this meeting, you know, the church that is poor and for the poor, I said yes at once. This is crucial, this is central, and I do believe in the power of the church to transform society by putting the poor in the center. I will come back to that. So my speech will be focused on that. I give you some examples of what I've observed across the world, how the church is working with the poor and putting the poor in the center. In the Philippines, which has been on the media recently with the big typhoon, for many, many years now, the church has organized basic ecclesial communities, giving the people, wherever they are, whoever they are, an opportunity to get engaged in the life of the church, in the life of the parish, in the life of the communities. And if you go around, you will see that the poorest have an opportunity and do take that opportunity to take responsibility in the church, whether in the liturgy, well, they may receive from their priest or even from the bishop a role to play, whether in the service of others, organizing solidarity in the community, whether in catechesis, teaching, and you can see that everyone in the community, even the poorest, are invited and do participate in that. Moving a little bit east, west, depends how you go, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has been at war with, you know, civil war, especially in the east, for so many years now, since 1996, almost 20 years, there again, people are organizing themselves or are organized in basic ecclesial communities. At the grassroots level, not even the parish, but below at the village level, and you see women, men, young girls, young boys take responsibility in animating the community. You have Caritas groups, teams in those basic ecclesial communities. You have justice and peace groups. And it's very inspiring, all of this, to us. The poor are not on the margins of the church. The poor are in the center of the church. Moving to India, Catholic community is a small one. And Caritas India is working with the people as they are, most of whom are Hindu, sometimes Muslim, focusing on the poorest women in the villages and through an animation process, bringing them to change the vision that they have upon themselves, going from passivity, resignation, to being active and proactive and initiate actions to better to improve the lives not only of their families but of the community. And these women's groups, you can see when you meet them, you can see the change in the people, in those ladies. They can testify, they can witness what has changed in their lives. They have not become Christian, but they have become a better human beings, probably better Hindus or better Muslims. They have grown, and not only themselves, but their families, their children, their husbands, and their communities in the villages. And when they come together to organize federation of groups, also to change the local policies through which they can access rights that they normally should have access to, but which are bought from them most often by politicians. So it's another way of being church, but I believe it through witness. Also, I think Father Brian this morning said that it's not proselytizing, but it is witnessing. And it's a call. People wonder why you take care of us that way. And they change, they can change. Now, these experiences at the grassroots, here and there, all over the world, as it was just said, you know, Caritas is the church and so it's present everywhere. How do we learn one from the other? And this is a challenge for you, work down in every state, in every diocese. How do you relate to those communities in other parts of the world? You have organizations or institutions like Catholic Relief Services that help you, that can help you in that way. I think most of you have an opportunity to go beyond your own borders. Your neighbors. Neighbors are not only those you can see and touch. They are everywhere in this globalized world. And the question maybe you can raise here in the States, as we can raise in Europe, does our church really welcome the poor, or does it leave them on the threshold of the church? Where are the poor in our communities? Does it actively invite them to participate in the life of the parish community? Does it celebrate their reality as it celebrates the sick, for instance? There is sacrament for the sick. How do we celebrate the reality of poverty? Should we not convert, let ourselves be stripped of our certainties to look at the world through their eyes? It should not only inspire us as persons, inspire our behavior, but also change the church from within as an ecclesial community. This is an invitation that Pope Francis is making to us every day almost. The message cannot be clearer. He's been insisting a lot on going to the peripheries, not only the physical peripheries, but also the spiritual, the inner peripheries. His last apostolic letter, which was already told about this morning, is full of this. I would like to go back to the Synod on New Evangelization, which was held in October 2012, in which we, as Caritas Internationalis and others, tried to bring charity back into the center as one excellent tool for evangelizing through witness. It was very hard. And in the final declaration, there was only one paragraph, which was almost smaller than beauty as evangelizing, an evangelizing tool. So whether in the preparatory documents as well as in the final declaration of the Synod, even if Pope Benedict in the beginning of the Synod said there are two pillars for evangelization, confessio and caritas, that was not really taken up. This apostolic letter for me is like a conclusion, an exhortation of after the Synod, saying, yes, charity is at the center of evangelization. And you know, I would like to cite a few of what is in this Evangelii Gaudium. The Pope prefers a wounded and stained church and asks us to move from the fear of being astray to the fear of being wrong. He invites us, encourages us to live and proclaim the joy of the gospel in the social and from the social. Not theologically, not from the social, from reality. He reminds us that from the very nature of the church flows effective charity, a compassion that understands, assists, and promotes. Understand, assist, and promote. In a visit that he made last year to the Jesuit refugee center in Rome, he used three other words which I think are clear for all of us as a pedagogy of action: serve, accompany, and defend. In Evangelii Gaudium, he's putting the poor at the center of new evangelization. He's opening our ears to the cry of the poor and calling us to be instruments of God for their liberation and promotion. Word liberation was not often used recently. It's coming back. And witnesses of God's mercy. And the word mercy, misericordia, is coming again and again. I think it's the word that the Pope uses most. He's reminding us that a sign of credibility that cannot be missed in evangelization is the option for the poorest, for those that society discards and rejects. I'm always citing him. He's reminding us that our social commitment is not just about actions and programs, not just about actions and programs, but in the actual and loving care and true and friendly proximity to the poor. He's inviting us to urgently address the structural causes of poverty and telling us that assistance should be only a temporary response. And final citation, he's inviting us to believe in the revolutionary power of tenderness and affection. After reading and meditating this letter, which I think you have all done, and if you've not done yet, do it, really very important letter, we cannot but reflect again on the role and place of the poor in the society and in the church. Are we not in a society that deliberately marginalizes the vulnerable, the non-educated, the poor, as they have no worth and bring no worth? In our secularized Europe, and I'm referring to Belgium and France right now, where there is debate in both parliaments on euthanasia, and even on euthanasia for children in Belgium, we want to get rid of those who are, you know, not productive. It's a very dangerous ideology which is slowly invading our society. This marginalization of the vulnerable and the poor is not only within a society, but it's also true at the international level between nations, and we can witness that. The world is upside down, and we are invited to put it right back. Yes, the human person is and must be at the heart of the society, not an object to be used and to be rejected. And among the human persons, not the richest to be put in the center, on the contrary, the poorest. A just society cannot be built without the poorest, and not forgetting them, using them, ignoring what their expectations are. Let us put them at the center and look at the world with their eyes, from their perspective. It's not easy, of course, but because we are often so sure to have the right answers to their problems, we know, and does that mean they don't? Then what is our mission? What is our ministry? Will it not be to help them realize, discover their talents, and transform them into action? Very often the poor are passive towards themselves and their own situation, passive and resigned. and often encouraged to be and to remain where they are. Isn't our job then to make them active, engaging, to help them make cultural revolution in their heads, revolution of mentality? How then is the church, the ecclesial community, invited to make this happen? Not only in the society, which we are doing, I think, but also inside the church, in its own dynamics. Within our institutions, are we flexible enough to be challenged by the poor? Have we set up spaces for the voice of the poor to be heard and transformed? What is our specificity as church if we compare with similar organizations? Wouldn't it be that in that proximity with the poorest we welcome, not as objects whose belly has to be filled or pains to be relieved, but as brothers and sisters in need of love, recognition, whom we first want to give the spark of light that will help them resuscitate? Accompaniment, relationship, is central to that process. That means being prepared for it, of course, but the heart is first, being ready to give up our own security, our own sureness, and count upon the Holy Spirit to make that way one of personal growth and development. The relationship between peoples. We must never think and act as if we are superior, which we do too often, probably, as if we know and they don't. This is an uneven relationship sure to fall from the start. We have to be open, ears open, eyes open, heart open, to be able to enter that path of restoration of the human dignity of everyone and all. And globalization gives us this chance. We have to size it, as Pope Francis does so well. We are all invited to do the same at our respective levels of engagement. Caritas is part of that dynamic of pedagogy, both an invitation and education to solidarity, and an organized response to the people's needs. Bringing the church to be a church of the poor, built around those neglected, marginalized, rejected, oppressed, so that their expectation of what a just and fraternal society should be can inspire everyone, and particularly those who, because of their birth or studies, have received responsibilities that they should use for the improvement of the dignity of all. It is at that measure that we can say we are fully human and not led into a society that marginalizes even more those who have not had the same opportunities to a level that makes all of us dehumanized. Then comes to my mind what Pope Francis said in Lampedusa when he went for his first trip to meet the migrants coming through the Mediterranean to Europe. It was a cry about indifference. Stop the globalization of indifference. As was said earlier, Caritas Internationalis has launched the first ever global campaign whose title is One Human Family, Food for All. We, and I particularly, believe that we do have the capacity to change things in the world, because as earlier said, 200 countries where Caritas is actively present and changing, helping people to change their lives, is a sign of hope that something can be done if we succeed in organizing people at the various levels. We have had hope that the Millennium Development Goals adopted by the United Nations in 2000 would help reduce poverty in the world. It has not, depending where. You take the Chinese statistics and then it looks better. But the 3 million of Congolese in Brazzaville, or the 3 million of Central Africans right now. No, it hasn't. Their life has not changed. So we have to build a different process to challenge poverty, and that has to be from the people themselves. In the MDGs, they were not consulted, not invited, really. It was top-down, completely. It failed. We know that if we mobilize the people, and you know that at your own level, it is possible to change the life of them. And hunger is probably the biggest scandal before any other one, that people are not able to eat, to drink proper water, is an absolute scandal. We, by 2025, we want to change that. Probably the success will not be complete, but we know, and we want to make a real change in the people's life there. And this, with this Pope especially, I think the church, the whole church, is engaged into that dynamics. To finish, local and global in this present day world are linked very much. You work at your own level. People in other places of the world work at their own level. The important thing is to create the relationships. And it's important, it's an invitation I make to you through your already existing organizations, is to build a relationship which is not only funding, supporting, but is learning. There should be reciprocity in our own pedagogy. Learn and slowly grow together. This world offers the possibility. Communication, globalization of communication offers us a very good opportunity to build this relationship across the borders, across the cultures. And so this is the invitation I want to make to you. Thank you.